My name is Danny Miller. I'm sitting in for Terry Gross, who started a vacation. We've moved over into our music studio, and we're going to be continuing with some speaking about Brazil. This time we'll be speaking about Brazilian music. We're about to be treated to an hour of live Brazilian music. My guests are Orlando Haddad and Patricia King, who formed the duet group Minas. Minas is the name of the area in Brazil where Orlando Haddad was born. Orlando and Patricia have been working together for about 10 years and are also married. As a teenager, Orlando performed in many percussion street bands where he learned the rhythms of samba and carnival music. His more formal studies include work at the Villa Lobos Institute of Music and a degree in music composition from the North Carolina School of the Arts, where he and Patricia met. Patricia was studying voice at the school. Patricia, who was born in Denver and grew up in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, received her early musical experience in the theater, singing and dancing in different musical comedy productions. As a duet, the repertoire includes many original pieces and songs by Antonio Carlos Jobim, Luis Bonfa, and Sergio Mendes. Orlando and Patricia have recently returned from a two-year stay in Brazil, where they went both to study and to perform Brazilian music. While in Brazil, they released an independently produced recording, Num Dia Azul, titled for one of Patricia's compositions. And over the summer, Orlando and Patricia perform regularly at two different clubs in the area. On Thursday and Saturday evenings, they perform at the Fairmount Firehouse at 22nd and Fairmount, and on Friday evenings at Rick's Cabaret, which is on Front Street, about two blocks south of South Street. Well, welcome to Fresh Air. Thanks for bringing your guitar. Orlando is on guitar, I should mention, and Patricia on piano, and we'll be hearing both of you sing. And could we start out with a song right now?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Pau é pedra, é o fim do caminho, é um resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho, é um caco de vidro, é a vida eu sou, é a noite e a morte, é um laço e um anzol, é peroba do campo,
é o nó da madeira,
caga candeia,
é uma tita pereira,
é madeira de vento,
o cabo da ribanceira,
é um mistério profundo,
é o queira ou não queira,
é o vento ventando, é o fim da ladeira, é a figueira, é o pão, festa da cumieira.
É a chuva chovendo, a conversa, a ribeira das águas de março. É o fim da canseira.
É o peito, é o chão.
É a mancha estradeira.
Passarinho na mão.
Pedra de atiradeira.
É uma ave no céu.
É uma ave no chão.
É um recado, uma fonte.
É um pedaço de pão.
É o fundo do poço. É o fim do caminho. Do rosto, dos costos. É um pouco sozinho. É um estrepinho.
É um prego.
É uma conta.
É um conto.
É um pinho.
É um gaio.
É uma conta.
É um conto.
É um peixe. É um gesto.
É uma prata brilhando.
É a luz da manhã.
É o tijolo chegando.
É a lenha. É o dia. É o fim da picada. É garrafa de cana. É chilaço na estrada.
É o projeto da casa. É o corpo na cama. É o carro enguiçado. É a lama. É a lama.
É um passo,
é uma ponte,
é um sapo,
é uma rã,
é um resto
de mato,
da luz
da manhã,
são as águas de março fechando o verão, e a promessa de vida no teu coração.
É João,
é José,
é um espinho
na mão,
é um corte
no peito.
São as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração. É pau,
é pedra,
é o fim
do caminho,
é um resto
de toco,
é um pouco
sozinho, é um passo, uma ponte,
é um sapo e uma rã,
é um belo horizonte,
é uma febre terçã. São as águas de março fechando o verão, e a promessa de vida no teu coração.
Pau,
pedra,
fim,
caminho,
resto
de toco,
pouco,
sozinho,
carco
de vidro,
vida,
sol,
noite,
morte,
passo,
anzol. São as águas de março fechando o verão, e a promessa de vida no teu coração. Paiaba pa, paiaba bea, bate com pa 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 ba do bea,
cago,
paraiara, iarara. as águas de março, fechando o verão. E a promessa de vida no teu coração é pau,
é pedra.
Oh man, that was terrific. That was great. Thanks so much. What was that song?
Águas de março. And that is also called Waters of March in English. And that is by Jobim.
You do a lot of songs by Jobim, don't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did he ever write a bad song that you know of? Because even when you hear songs that you never heard before, the lesser known bossa novas or sambas that he's written, they're always really, really great.
I don't think I've ever heard a bad Jobim song.
I've heard really fantastic ones and then some good ones, and that's about it.
Do you think that his best songs are well known, or are his most popular songs his best songs, do you think?
I think so, like Desafinado and One Note Samba, and yeah.
Was bossa nova popular when you're growing up? And you may have two different answers to that, because Orlando, you grew up in Brazil, and Patricia, you grew up in the United States. Orlando, was it popular in Brazil?
Well, let me see. When I was about 7 years old, bossa nova came out. And I was a little bit too young, but I still remember it. And I had an older brother, and he was crazy about it. And he would be on TV watching all the programs and buying the records. And when I was about 12 years old, it sort of phased out with the arrival of the Beatles and the rock music and, you know.
Was it very much like the bossa nova you would call bossa nova today, that type of music?
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Where did you first encounter bossa nova, Patricia?
I heard it with Sergio Mendes. I had two sisters that traveled to South America, and they brought back some music. So that was a time that I listened to it during the Beatles, when the Beatles were famous.
Yeah, I was listening to the Beatles in Brazil, and Patricia was listening to Sergio Mendes in the
right.
States at the same time.
Do you remember the bossa nova craze, like when Arthur Murray danced classes with teaching people to dance the bossa nova, which I understand you can't dance the bossa nova, but that craze when bossa nova was getting into a lot of different types of dancing and different music?
Well, I don't remember that because I was in Brazil at the time, but just from seeing records and talking to people and reading about it, and I thought it was very strange because in Brazil there was never a bossa nova dance. And it was something entirely created here in the States, you know, just to make it more commercial.
Did you ever see anybody dance a bossa nova dance? Did you ever have a chance to see that?
No.
Only here. Only here.
Were people in Brazil, were musicians in Brazil or lovers of samba and bossa nova, aware of the type of stir and craze that it was causing in America, both in terms of recordings that like Stan Getz would do with bossa nova writers like Jobim or João Gilberto, but also like the kind of dancing craze and that type of stuff. Were you aware of that?
I wasn't, because I think I was pretty young at the time, but I don't know.
Did you listen to those recordings down there?
No. At the time, let me see, the first time I heard the Getz Gilberto album, it was about 1973. And that was pretty late, right?
That was actually about 10 years after it came out, right?
Right. I was really, when I lived in Brazil, I was mostly into rock and classical music.
Well, one of the things I understand that you did was play in percussion bands when you were a teenager. What were those bands like, and where did you play?
Well, my friends and I got together, and we all made the instruments, the drums and all the percussion instruments, and we organized these percussion street bands and went out and played. And that's how I got interested in music.
You essentially learned rhythms, right?
Right. It was mostly rhythmic.
What would be the different types of rhythms? Because I think to people who appreciate and like Brazilian music but aren't musicians or not Brazilian musicians, a lot of the beats tend to sound the same. They're obviously from Brazil, but you wouldn't be able to really tell what beat was what. Does a Brazilian musician have a real solid sense of different type of beats?
Yeah, there's a samba, there's a bossa nova, there is a baião, which is from the northeast. There is a choro, which really isn't really a percussive kind of music, but it's an old style of music that came from Brazil. So there are many different types of really definite rhythms.
How would you be able to tell a non-musician or non-Brazilian musician about those type of differences?
just by them not playing the right rhythm patterns.
Well, the bossa nova would go something like, and the baião would go, and the shorter would go like, no, let me see.
That's terrific.
So they're all different, very different.
Listen, let me ask you to play another song. What's the next song you wanted to play?
One Note Samba, and this is another tune by Jobim.
Just a little samba built upon a single note. Other notes are bound to follow, but the root is still that note. Now this new one is a consequence of a one that's just gone through, as I'm bound to be the unavoidable consequence of you. There's so many people who can talk and talk and talk and just say nothing of really nothing. I hate this appalling skill and know that at the end I come to nothing of really nothing. So I come back to my first note as I must come back to you. I was born to that one note of all the love I feel for you. Anyone who wants a hosho, bring me fossil and sit down. He will find himself with no show, better play the note you know.
Eis aqui este sambinha feito de uma nota só. Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Tanta gente existe por aí que fala, fala e não diz nada, ou quase nada. Já me utilizei de toda escala e no final não sobrou nada. Não deu em nada e voltei pra minha nota. Como eu volto pra você? Vou fazer da minha nota, minha escala e você. E quem quer todas as notas, já me faz sol, lá, si, dó. Fica sempre sem nenhuma, fica numa nota só. Bem, voltei pra minha nota. Como eu volto pra você? Vou fazer da minha nota, minha escala e você. E quem quer todas as notas, geme, fá, sol, lá, si, dó. Fica sempre sem nenhuma, fica numa nota só. There's so many people who can talk and talk and talk and just say nothing, oh really nothing. I hear this apology, I know that at the end I come to nothing, oh really nothing.
So I come back to my first note, as I must come back to you. I was born to that one note of all the love I feel for you. Anyone who wants a hosho, don't be me fast or last it on. He will find himself with no show, better play the note you know. He will find himself with no show, better play the note you know.
Thanks. If you're just joining us, we're live from the WHYY Music Studio with Patricia King and Orlando Haddad. They form the duet Minas, and they perform in the area on Thursdays and Saturdays. They perform at the Fairmount Firehouse at 22nd and Fairmount, and on Friday evenings at Rick's Cabaret on Front Street, about two blocks south of South Street on Front Street. Patricia, you studied you have a degree in voice from North Carolina. Did your formal training prepare you for this type of performing, do you think?
Oh, yes. I think it performed me with the technique and everything. But the funny thing is I studied opera the first year, and I met Orlando at the end of the year, and as soon as I heard the Brazilian music, I just left all my studies behind and went into the bossa nova. So that they really appreciated that, and they let me continue learning the Brazilian music.
So your teachers didn't feel that you were abandoning a higher art or anything like that?
There were some teachers that might have thought that, but I think they really liked what we were doing, and I got by with that.
It seems that in Brazilian music, especially songs by Jobim, that the writing is very precise. In other words, the way you're supposed to sing each word and the accent, not the accent, but the placement of each syllable is really a part of the composition, whereas sometimes with like jazz standards, a singer can take a lot of liberties and rephrase things. But can you do that with Jobim's tunes or with samba music?
Maybe with some of the more up tunes that are more jazzy, I think you can do that. But as far as the Jobim goes, I feel like the melody is so sparse, and that's the beauty of it. So I just try to usually keep to the notes that he has written.
Do you think, do you hear other singers who take liberties?
Not too many. Maybe some American singers will do something a little different. But then it isn't really Brazilian anymore. It's more jazzy.
You went to Brazil for 2 years. And you came back with just recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you go down to Brazil?
Well, we went down mainly to get a part of the culture, to study, to see what was going on then, and to see what music was happening at the time, and to study the rhythms.
Yeah, I think one of the main things that happened in Brazil as far as as far as our Brazilianness is concerned, it's like Patricia was exposed directly to 2 years of Brazil. And that was very important for her because of the rhythm. Brazilian music, especially the piano and the guitar or drums, really need a specific rhythm. And she got a very good feel for the piano. In fact, a lot of Brazilians who heard Patricia play the piano couldn't believe she was American because she could swing in Brazilian style.
Do you think that that non-Brazilians who play Brazilian music, do they generally get it or do they generally not get it as far as the feel?
I think they sort of stay in the middle. They never really get it. It's like you can tell when a drummer is not Brazilian.
How can you tell? Is it
the swing? I think it's the Brazilian swing is different. It's looser. I think American drummers tend to keep to one rhythm, where the Brazilian rhythm is always changing. It's always
right.
Loose.
They learn one pattern and they play the whole song with the same pattern. And most Brazilians keep that pattern and they just do variations on it all the time. It's never repeated the same.
What's the music scene down there like? What type of music is popular? What type of opportunities exist for musicians?
Well, the thing that we noticed when we were down in Brazil is that they were not playing a lot of Brazilian music, per se, as far as Brazilian authentic music. And the music was being very Americanized. So anybody who was doing something that was commercial and American was really making it and dominating the whole market. And so as a result came an independent recording organization where all the, you know, the musicians and the sort of the jazz Brazilian musicians went to have their music distributed because the whole market is dominated by the commercialism.
And it's also, all the recording companies are owned by the multinationals. And it's much easier to just bring a finished product from, let's say, the United States, such as, let's say, you know, Michael Jackson down there who already established here, just take it down there and print it and release it and have the radio stations play it, than to just go after producing something there and recording as far as money.
Well, what do the major labels down there produce? I mean, is it covers of American hits?
Well, it's the same albums that come out here mainly, usually come out down there.
But they also have their own artists.
Yeah, they have some well-established Brazilian artists who are very good.
Do they do covers of American hits down there, the Brazilian artists?
Not really. They do their own stuff. A lot of artists like Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil, Simone. They do their own thing. But there's one thing. They always have to be doing something along the same lines of, let's say, if reggae is popular, so he does something a little reggae-like, you know?
Well, Michael Jackson is such a huge phenomenon in the United States now. Did you see evidence of that, or do you think there's evidence of that down in Brazil now?
Oh, definitely.
In what way? Just his recordings, or would other people be doing Michael Jackson songs in Portuguese or with
no,
samba rhythms?
No, more the recording, just the actual recording. I don't think they would do that in Portuguese. But the Brazilians have something about, they don't feel that their culture is really has a lot of value. So anything American, they think, is really good, something. So they're throwing out their whole culture just for...
And that's true. That holds true. Even in my case, when I came to the United States, I wanted to study to be a rock player, to be a rock star, let's say. And I discovered Brazilian music in the United States.
You mentioned that it was hard to find bossa nova music and samba music. And that's kind of surprising. Did that surprise you when you got down there? Because you figure, like, that's, for one thing, you figure that's what the tourists go to see if you think that would have any effect on it.
Yeah, samba is more available than bossa nova. Bossa nova is sort of, in very secluded places. And some of the artists are the same artists who made it during the bossa nova times, and nowadays they just are
playing
unknown.
In bars.
They play in bars,
right? Incredible artists who are just playing these small bars that are getting not any recognition.
And many of them don't record anymore, right?
Right, which is just really sad, I think.
You know, I keep throwing around the term bossa nova and samba and pretty interchangeably, but could you make the distinction for us?
The samba is a more crude art form, I'd say, and the bossa nova is more refined. And the bossa nova sort of evolved from the mixing of the rhythm elements of the samba with jazz, the harmonies and melodies from jazz. So, and also there's a distinction because in the past, in the samba, they used several percussionists. They used like one to play the surdo, one to play the agogô, one to play the small drum. And then with the appearance of the drum set, that synthesized all the samba beats into one.
And with
that
the
beat became.
And the piano also.
Right, and with the guitar and the piano and the influence of the cool jazz of the time, the bossa nova came out.
Well, let's hear a recording from the record which you produced that was released while you were down in Brazil. And the song we're about to hear is Num Dia Azul, which was written by Patricia. Could you introduce it and maybe tell us what the words are, or just give us a sense of what the lyrics are, because they're in Portuguese?
Okay, this song is means In a Blue Day. And I wrote this tune before I went to Brazil with sort of the concept in my mind what Brazil was like, the beaches. So it talks about being on a deserted beach and walking and wanting to have the person that you love beside you. That's pretty much what it translates to, the breezes and the feeling of being in the ocean.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
No dia azul, brisa soprando no mar azul, volta navegando na praia descanso, eu ando só. Yes.
Num Dia Azul, that's the title cut from a record done by my guests Orlando Haddad and Patricia King, and they form the duet Minas, and they're live with us now, live from our music studio. And we were speaking a minute ago before we heard that recording about the Association of Independent Recording Artists that you belong to. What type of music seems to be coming out of that? What are the artistic goals that seems to be meeting?
They are accepting all types of music, but I think the people that mostly go to this association are jazz artists or people who basically don't have commercial music. And
so Brazilian jazz.
Yes, Brazilian. They say now that this movement now is almost as big as the Bossa Nova movement years ago, because it's a real movement now.
So it's the only outlet that the artists have now, you know, to record. Go out and produce your own records, belong to the association. The association sends out catalogs and they have mailing lists, and it's getting bigger and bigger. It's the way to beat the system.
Are the artists very politically minded about getting radio airplay and gaining some artistic and some type of production power?
I guess they're just beginning to be, you know, oriented towards that.
Do politics ever enter into Brazilian music?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How so?
Yeah, but the government really suppresses it very fast. Artists like Chico Buarque, you know, was very political, but even Gilberto Gil and Milton Nascimento and Caetano Veloso, some of them had to go to Europe for 2 years because of the dictatorship in Brazil. But it's opened up much more nowadays.
Do you remember the cause for their exile? Like, was it certain recordings that they did or themes that they would sing about?
I think so, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
Chico Buarque used to play a lot with his words, insinuating things about the government. And, you know, he talked a lot about the poverty and the people. And so I think he was one of the main figures on that.
I think the image of Brazilian music to Americans is one which is very happy-go-lucky, very joyous, and essentially the same type of message that the tourist industry will give about Brazil, you know, because making it a very inviting place to be. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the image that Americans have of samba music is the same sense that Brazilians share in, or is it kind of maybe packaged a little bit differently for Americans?
I think it's pretty much the same. I think it is.
Except that the Americans really view Brazilian music as bossa nova, right?
Yes.
And Brazilian music is just a little bit more than bossa nova. There's more elements in it.
Do you think there's musicians train themselves to play music that the tourists are going to like?
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, is there like an accepted commercially viable type of music for tourists that at the Holiday Inn there, wherever, the Hilton Hotel, whatever it would be, that would be the tourist place to hang out?
No, I think they basically just play bossa nova and some current hits, you know, from America, sort of top 40-ish.
They don't really play to the tourists, the musicians. The only thing that they will have is some samba kind of things going on for the tourists to see when they get to Brazil, but I don't think any music is really geared for that.
Right.
Was it pretty easy for you to find work when you were down there? Or is it tough to make it as a musician?
It was hard because the competition is really big. And since we did bossa nova, the only places that were having bossa nova, they were having actual, you know, names, and we had to compete with the names. But once we got a little established, we started really getting good work. And it was time to leave, so we came back to the States.
Well, you've brought with you some percussion instruments that I guess you can hear them on the recording, and we'll be hearing another selection from the record in just a few moments. But can you tell us what you brought and demonstrate a little bit?
Okay. The first instrument that I have here is called a tambourine, and this is using samba and to back up some of the bossa nova tunes also. But it has a beat something like, and so then there are other instruments that play upon that rhythm.
This one is called agogô. and it has a specific pattern, and the pattern is like this.
Now, would you put those two instruments together? Would that?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I have another one here called the cuíca. And this one is the most interesting one because this is a small drum that has a stick in the middle, and the stick is attached to the head of the drum. And it's played by producing friction on the stick, and the sound is amplified by the head of the drum, and it sounds like this.
So are you pulling a stick that's attached to the skin of the drum, or are you rubbing the skin of the drum?
No, I am rubbing this wet cloth against the stick, and that produces friction, and the friction is this sound. And you can change the sound by pressing your nail on the head of the drum.
Now that's a sound that I think I first heard that and recognized it from a Stevie Wonder recording, Bird of Beauty, I think, in which he used Portuguese lyrics too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a typical, I think it's of African origin, but it's a typical Brazilian.
Do you hear that instrument in other contexts, like a Stevie Wonder recording or something like that?
A lot of the jazz groups here in the States use that, like Weather Report and some other groups. And I also hear it in soul music and in disco music, too.
I guess
they just, you know, have picked it up.
Is it used correctly, or at least correctly, to a Brazilian musician?
Well, it's used differently. It has a specific pattern, which I haven't played yet, that is done in the samba. And this is what it sounds like.
Now, are these the type of rhythms that any kid in Brazil is going to know? Or
Yes. These people grow up on this.
What do you got there that's rattling in the background?
It's called a ganzá, and it's like a shaky. And shaker. I'll play it while you do the cuíca.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, so percussion bands are basically all these different instruments that.
Plus a surdo, which is a big, huge drum.
Well, the most important one is the surdo, and it's like the basis of the whole thing. And the whole thing kind of sounds like. Something like that.
and you use those type of vocal sounds also just when you're singing and performing, right?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends on what piece we're doing.
I mean, it's a nice mix of kind of integrating, you know, your voice and making both the percussion instrument sound vocal and your voice sound like a percussion instrument.
Yeah, we should incorporate that a little more.
Well, why don't we listen to another recording from your record? And I'm not sure who wrote this. It's Canção de Chuva.
Oh, Canção da Chuva. It's a tune that I wrote. And it translates Song of the Rain. And the feeling I had when I wrote the tune was of being at home in a very peaceful night, listening to the rain and falling asleep to the sounds of the rain.
Well, let's hear it.
A chuva lá fora, abundante, tão mansa, constante. E o ruído da água me deixa calado, pensando. Esta chuva não para e a grama cortada fica mais verde. E eu de dentro me perco em desenhos que os pingos formam nas poças. E a luz de um poste reflete no asfalto molhado, dando um brilho na rua de um tom prateado. Rola chuva na noite abundante na calçada vazia, e a enxurrada transborda o bueiro da via.
carro passa depressa, me cega e espirra água pros lados. E eu de dentro bocejo, espreguiço e sorrio, reafirmando de como é bom estar em casa, curtindo uma noite tranquila, na atmosfera serena que a chuva inspira. Pa 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 pa. Águas caindo na noite escura, e eu adormeço ao som da sutil melodia da chuva.
Cansado de Chuva, written by my guest Orlando Haddad, who is in our music studio with Patricia King. And earlier we've been hearing some live performance from the studio, and we'll be doing that in just a moment. Hear some more live music. When do you think Portuguese song should be translated into English, and why is it done?
Well, one reason it's done is, I guess, just to get the songs across to the people, the ideas. I think on the Jobim tunes, it's easier to translate because he talks about very basic things. I think as far as translating people like Milton Nascimento and very Brazilian people, I think that's when you lose a lot.
Some translations are remarkably good.
Yes.
Such as One Note Samba, I think, is excellent. Desafinado is very creative.
Mm-hmm. Well, the lyric in Desafinado comments on the song being slightly out of tune, and the melody is a very dissonant melody. Is that the original song written with that type of lyric?
Yeah, desafinado really means out of tune. It's that song came about because the bossa nova harmony is using all the altered, you know, altered chords, made it sound a little strange for the time, like 1960, 1962, you know, using those really dissonant chords made the regular people feel like it was out of tune.
Can you demonstrate, play that type of chord or
there's one chord that is, yeah.
Instead of just, it sounds.
Well, could I ask you to play?
Sure,
desafinado.
Yes.
Um, dois, três, quatro.
Se você disser que eu desafino, amor, saiba que isto em mim provoca imensa dor. Só privilegiados têm ouvido igual ao seu, e eu possuo apenas o que Deus me deu. Se você insiste em classificar meu comportamento diante musical, e eu mesmo mentindo devo argumentar que isto é bossa nova, que isto é muito natural. O que você não sabe, nem sequer presente, é que os desafinados também têm um coração. Eu fotografei você na minha Rolleiflex e revelou-se a sua enorme ingratidão. Só não poderá falar assim do meu amor, que ele é o maior que você pode encontrar, viu? Você com a sua música esqueceu o principal, que no peito dos desafinados, no fundo do peito, bate calado. Que no peito dos desafinados também bate um coração.
Love is like a never.
never-ending melody. Always have compared it to a symphony. A symphony conducted by the lighting of the moon. But our song of love is slightly out of tune. Once your kiss had raised me to a fever pitch. Now the orchestration doesn't seem so rich. Seems to me you've changed the tune we used to sing. Like the bossa nova, love should swing. We used to harmonize two souls in perfect time. Now the song is different and the words don't even rhyme. 'Cause you forgot the melody. Our hearts were always true. And what good's a heart that's slightly out of tune? Tune your heart to mine the way it used to be. Join with me in harmony and sing a song of loving. We're bound to get together before too long. There'll be no more desafinado when your heart belongs to me completely. There'll be no more singing out of tune. You'll sing along with me. You sing and tone with me. You sing and tone. You sing, 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 and sing, 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 sing.
Oh man, that's really, really nice.
Thank you.
Do you get many requests for specific tunes when you play?
A lot of times people ask for the Girl from Ipanema. That's
too.
The main one.
Do you ever tire of playing Girl from Ipanema?
Sometimes we do, but it's there's something about that tune that it's always fresh for some reason. It really, you know, it's a nice tune.
Now Gigi, that was done by Sarah Vaughan a couple of years ago.
Yeah, she did that. But I get a lot of requests for that. That's a beautiful tune.
Did people know about it before Sarah Vaughan's version, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah, it's, Jobim did it himself.
Jobim, then Flora Purim did a really beautiful version of
right.
it.
I guess Flora Purim, through her work with Chick Corea, helped bring familiarize a lot of younger people with Brazilian mm-hmm. music and samba and stuff like that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Do people ever come up and ask you to play a cha-cha?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
How about Even Proud Mary?
And wedding and Polish wedding songs.
Do you play bar mitzvahs ever?
We did one time in North Carolina.
Time. That's right.
And we had to play Hava Nagila.
Is there a Brazilian?
We did a little samba beat underneath it.
Well, I don't know if it's fair to ask you to play that now. And I think we have time for one more song.
Okay. Well, should we do...
Let's do an up one.
So dance a samba.
Okay.
So dance a samba, so dance a samba. Bye-bye-bye-bye-bye. So dance a samba, so dance a samba. Bye. So dance a samba, so dance a samba. Bye-bye-bye-bye-bye. So dance a samba, so dance a samba. Bye. Já dancei o twist até demais, mas não sei, me cansei do calypso e cha-cha-cha. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai-vai-vai-vai-vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai. Chip 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 ch
Samba,
vai. Sou danço samba, sou danço samba.
Vai, 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 vai.
Sou danço samba, sou danço samba.
Vai. Já dancei o twist até demais.
Vai.
Já não sei, me cansei
do calypso, é tchá tchá tchá.
Sou danço samba, sou danço samba. Vai, 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 vai.
Sou danço samba, sou danço samba.
Vai,
vai, vai.
Bate pam 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 pam.
Hey, I've really enjoyed this past hour. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have too.
Thank you too.